Will you still need me? Will you still feed me? This is episode 64 of the Funkhauser Situation. You like what I did there?
I don't even know what that was.
You don't know what that was.
What was that? That was weird.
You're kidding me, right?
What was
it? This is really off to a great... This pop culture podcast is off to a great start if you don't know one of the Beatles' most famous songs.
Oh, that's what that was? A Beatles
tune?
Yeah,
I didn't mess it up. I got it right.
Well, wasn't in tune.
Maria, you know that song, right? You've heard of it.
Nobody's
I'm in the right place to talk about pop culture. I can't wait to talk about the VMAs in a second. Yeah, yeah. This is going to be great if you guys don't know that Beatles reference. How you doing, Lee?
I'm great. I watched you walk across the parking lot, and I just can't believe the lack of respect you have for yourself as you wear these shorts.
You like these shorts? I like these shorts.
A T-shirt. I mean, you look like you were dressed in a gas station.
No, these shorts are nice, and this T-shirt is from the SEC tournament. This is fine clothing.
You have a green hat.
Yeah.
Gray T-shirt, yeah. And then plaid ugly shorts.
Plaid awesome shorts.
I mean, you have.
What are you wearing?
Well, I have a traditional.
Yeah, but I imagine you wear a three-piece suit to go to the car wash.
I do wear a tuxedo to mow the yard.
I just wear a tuxedo T-shirt. That's how I roll. Yeah. I think this is a fine outfit, and I won't apologize for it. You, however, look lovely today.
Thank you. Yeah.
So episode 64, are you excited?
Yeah.
Should we break out the champagne?
Sure.
Champagne from my, what is it? Champagne from my real friends? Real pain from my sham friends.
Is this another Beatles reference?
No. Also, the Beatles are an actual thing, you know. This isn't like some niche thing I'm into. Right? You are aware there's a band called the Beatles.
Yeah, I know.
And they had like a gazillion number one hits.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Although, who was it? Drake has a tattoo.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, tell everybody that. That's great.
Drake has a tattoo of the Beatles in their world-renowned famous photo.
Well, he got it because he beat one of their records. Yeah.
Were you going to let me finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
On the Abbey Road, mm-hmm. So it's John, Paul, George, and Ringo. On his arm, but he's in front of them, turning around, flipping them off, because he surpassed them in whatever stupid record he thinks he's achieved.
Now, this is fine coming from somebody who has a tattoo himself of you with Bruce Springsteen in a headlock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just giving him the business.
Let me get, okay, I'm going to predict a hot take.
All right.
You're not a huge Beatles fan.
No, the Beatles are okay. I like the Beatles. Yeah, they're okay. Yeah.
Just okay.
I mean, most of their songs I like, yes.
They have a lot of songs. It's crazy
I
how many
like
recognize.
Revolution.
What is your favorite Beatles song?
Probably something.
Revolution's a little interesting. You're right.
It's something older, probably.
You don't like Revolution because it messes with the status quo.
That's exactly right.
You don't like
who are these punks?
These hippies
these
who are
hippies
causing problems.
Growing their hair. Yeah, I'm trying to conduct business, and you're out front not wearing shoes, looking like you bought an outfit at a gas station.
Now, John Lennon's the only one who didn't wear shoes. Paul always wore shoes. He was respectful.
Actually,
you know, they
Paul,
said he was the cute one.
It's
That's what
Paul
they
who is barefoot in the Abbey Road photo.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that an Easter egg? I mean, is that sort of a...
I'm just telling you who it was.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. What's your favorite Beatles song?
I don't know. There's a lot of them.
There's so many. And here's the thing about the Beatles song. It's kind of like picking a movie. There are movies you love because you just enjoy them.
Yeah.
And then there are movies you love because they're great movies.
Right.
Right? So I think if you're going to go with like one that's like the one you're supposed to go with, it would have to be like Yesterday or something like that.
Right. Well,
but if you're going to go with like an enjoyable song.
Yeah.
Like Back in the USSR, it's a great song.
Rocks out.
Yeah.
Those guys are really uber talented. I mean, there was nobody better.
Yeah. They're really going places.
I think they will.
Yeah. Did you ever see Corden's thing he did with Paul?
Yeah, it was great.
It was great.
Yeah. He took him to his old house.
Yeah.
And then they went and surprised people at some tavern. I mean, how cool.
They went
bar,
to the barber shop on Penny Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, imagine if we were sitting downstairs at KS Bar and we dropped a curtain and there's Paul McCartney who starts rocking out. That's kind of what happened at that pub.
Yeah, that's true. I thought you were going to say that when we go into KS Bar, that's how we get treated, yeah. As if we're Paul McCartney.
No, we get thrown out because we drop our pants.
It's very clear since the Pats, since we've done it down there, that no one cares if we're down there.
No,
at all.
We moved upstairs.
We might as well move upstairs, which we did.
We literally had a couple of ladies that were sitting in front of us on this last episode we did and never acknowledged our existence.
They never looked at us one time.
Yeah.
I noticed
and
that
we're loud because we're projecting, and I think they were just annoyed by it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we're trying to have a nice lunch, and these jokers are podcasting next to us. The Beatles are all right. So, Lee, what's going on with you?
You know what I'm excited about was, and I had no idea I'd ever be this excited about a TV show, but that trailer for The Mandalorian or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
The new Buick.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that looks so daggone good.
It's Boba Fett, right?
Yeah, it's all about Boba Fett.
But is he the main character, or is it another one of those types of dudes?
Well, obviously he's the main character. He's the one they keep featuring. But I think it's sort of this outpost of, and apparently there's a comic book version of this somewhere in the Star Wars
universe. If only we knew people we could ask about that. Yeah.
But my understanding is this is sort of where the bounty hunters hang out. So all those guys that you saw in Empire Strikes Back, including the guy who's sort of a cylinder-looking droid.
IG-88?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
IG-88.
Yeah. Bosch.
Yeah.
Bosk.
Yeah.
Bosk,
those guys are all going to be in this.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's their story.
Do you want to know a fun fact about IG-88? His Star Wars figure, his character figure, is universal because the arm fell off of almost all of them.
Yeah.
It fell off of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I had Bosk, though.
They'll probably do that in the show.
No, will they?
His arm fall off.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Show has a little wink to everybody.
And then everybody goes, he's more valuable now. Yeah. So do you think that the cantina will play into it? Because the cantina.
Well, that's on Mos Eisley, though. That's another planet.
Is Boba Fett in that scene?
What do you mean?
Oh, look at Maria. Thanks.
Service.
Look at that.
Thank you, Maria.
She is treating you like a child who needs a coaster.
Well, I had condensation. As opposed to your condescension from you. Thank you, Maria. No,
he's not in Star Wars at all, is he?
No, well.
I didn't know if he was in the background of that scene.
In the original, no. In the new revamped George Lucas stupid nonsense, yes. He's in the hangar scene when Jabba is telling Han he wants his money, and Boba Fett's standing over there with him.
I thought that was in the original. Is it not?
No, he actually shot it. It was in the original, but it never made the final cut. Then Lucas, 25, 30 years later, now can CG Jabba the way he wanted him to look, as opposed to played by some big actor, is what he had. Right. Some guy looks like Orson Welles.
Well, it makes sense that he's in that scene because he dies on the barge, on the sail barge, by firing himself in the Sarlacc pit. Is that in the original, or is that a remaster?
That was Return of the Jedi.
Oh, you're right. They added a Jabba scene in. I forgot about this.
Yeah,
in Star Wars.
When Han Solo is
talking about,
I'm getting paid. I just met this old guy and a kid, and they're going to give me some money to transport them.
That's right. I forgot that. Is Jon Favreau still attached to The Mandalorian?
I think it's his deal.
Is he directing the whole show?
I don't know.
He's
the guy they keep asking questions to, so yeah.
Disney's making some big moves and losing some big assets, as we saw this week that Kevin Feige said that Tom Holland is not returning to the Marvel Universe. Did you see that?
No.
It's announced. He's not coming back. They are dropping Spider-Man from the Marvel Comics Universe.
Because they can't work this deal out?
Because they can't work it out with Sony. And then Stan Lee's daughter got in the mix, and she said that they denigrated the character, and she wasn't happy with what they did. Yeah, she's been all over the place.
What do you mean she wasn't happy with
it? She wasn't happy.
It was the best version of Spider-Man we've seen.
I agree.
What do you mean wasn't happy with it?
I don't know what version she prefers.
Well, this is shocking news.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not coming back. He's done. And here we spent the last three episodes of this very podcast talking about how much we love this franchise.
You got to be kidding me.
No, apparently it's a done deal. Like Tom Holland and Kevin Feige, who runs the Marvel Universe for Disney, have both announced that Tom Holland will not return.
Why doesn't Disney just buy them?
I know, right?
Okay. How much for Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Oh, that okay. Well, we'll just buy your company.
Yeah. How about
now? It's a hostile takeover.
How much for Sony?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really that's really disappointing because I really like that. That's a bummer.
Gone it.
I know, right?
I don't even want to do a show now.
Yeah, let's hang it up.
Yeah.
We'll see you at episode 65.
Daggone it.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Well, I mean, we texted about it when it happened, when it was on the ropes, and you were like, yeah, they'll work it out.
Because I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm sure I will watch whatever this next phase four, whatever they call it. I don't care about it, though. I don't care about the Eternals. I don't care about a female Thor.
Natalie. The Eternals in this new bunch of movies?
Yeah, whatever.
Who is that going to be? That's
Angelina Jolie.
Jon Snow. And he
is
one of those?
I don't know.
I want to say I saw Kit Harington's name. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
He was in. He is coming up in something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that.
I saw his picture on something attached.
But it's Angelina Jolie, and then who's the guy I really like? Kumail
Nanjiani?
Yeah, he's one of them, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fun.
He's something. He's got something. He signed a deal with Disney. He was at the big reveal.
Here's a hot take. There's no more boring celebrity than Angelina Jolie.
Really?
I've never.
So,
name me one movie that she was great in.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Not a great movie. Keep going.
It was pretty good.
Nah.
It was pretty good. Yep.
Go ahead.
It was pretty
Keep
good.
Going. Is she in Gladiator?
No. That's Connie Nielsen.
Okay. Well, then she was almost in a great movie. She was in The Changeling. Let's look at her IMDb real quick, and I'm going to prove to you that she's nothing to crow about.
I agree.
This is going to be
Mr. and Mrs. Smith was actually good. Don't give me that it wasn't.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's say there was a moment in your life where you've got declared love from Jennifer Aniston, and you've got this other girl named Angelina Jolie trying to get in your pants.
Aniston all day, baby.
Me too.
Yeah.
All day long.
She's a regular person.
America's sweetheart.
She's a regular person.
I mean, I don't deny Angelina Jolie's not a beautiful girl, and maybe she's a wonderful person.
Here's the deal.
I don't know. But to me, she looks plastic. There's nothing about her that looks natural.
She looks fake. And here's the other thing. If you marry Angelina Jolie, you got John Voight coming over the house all the time.
I like John Voight.
He seems like a weirdo, too. All right, let's look at her IMDb, all right?
I want to hang out with John Voight.
You do?
I just don't want to date his daughter.
You ever seen Anaconda? Man, he's terrible in that movie. All right. Wow, one of her first things was she was in a Lemonheads video for It's About Time.
Okay.
I love that song. That was in Reality Bites. Cyborg 2. Okay, we're going to figure out where she hit, okay?
Yeah.
Definitely it wasn't Cyborg 2.
No.
Glass Shadow is the subtitle of that movie.
Okay.
I don't want
that
to
That wasn't
you.
It.
Meatloaf. She was a runaway teenager in a Meatloaf video.
Okay.
She was in another Meatloaf video.
Yeah.
For Bad Outta Hell 2.
Okay.
Without Evidence. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Hackers. Now, I have heard of Hackers.
Yeah.
Foxfire. She played Legs Sadovsky. What's in a name? Mojave Moon.
Mm-hmm.
True Women. Mm. George Wallace, that's not the George Wallace comedian. That's the George Wallace, the Alabama.
Oh, governor.
Yeah. She's another video for the Rolling Stones.
Wow.
Playing God. Now, Playing God, is that? That's David Duchovny. I thought that was an Alec Baldwin movie.
All right.
Gia. Oh, now, Gia was where she hit.
Kind
of. She played,
She
the
was
model. It was an
the
HBO
model
movie.
Who died from OD, I think.
Yeah,
and,
I think you're right.
She had the affair. She had the tryst with the girl who was on Lost. And I like that girl.
Evangeline Lilly?
No, the other one. The blonde who was a doctor or something like that.
She's really pretty.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Yeah.
I know her name. Yeah.
Can't remember her.
Gia's probably where people noticed her.
Yeah.
Because that was a movie all about her playing a model.
So Hollywood's thinking maybe we can get her a feature role now. So she pulled that off.
Right, and then I'm going to tell you where she took a step up the circuit.
Okay, where?
Pushing 10.
Oh, yeah.
With John Cusack and Billy Bob Thornton. Right?
Okay.
Is that correct?
I was thinking it was Richard Dreyfuss, but you're probably right.
No, you're thinking of 10 Men.
That's true,
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
The Bone Collector.
Pushing 10 was about air traffic controllers.
Yeah, that's right.
The Bone Collector was the first. Was it Denzel?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Denzel gives her credibility because shows up.
All right.
Okay.
Girl Interrupted. That was a big hit for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No. Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah, that was a big one. That was Nicolas Cage.
So far, I would like to point out none of these movies are great.
No, none of them are. Right. I wouldn't want to watch any of them. I saw Pushing 10, but it wasn't that good.
Yeah. A Korn video.
Back to videos.
Yeah, back to videos. Then Beyond Borders. I think she played a doctor in that, maybe.
Probably.
Again, forgettable. Don't even remember it. Taking Lives.
I don't know what that is.
Shark Tale.
Okay.
Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. We're seeing a trend here, I think.
That was
none
Kurt,
of these movies.
Was that Kurt Russell?
That was Jude Law.
Oh, that's what that was.
Steampunky kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. They were like fighting the Nazis.
Right.
With blimps.
Alexander. Terrible movie. That's Colin Farrell. That's why I was thinking of Gladiator.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. That was not any good. Rosario Dawson was the better female lead in that.
Yeah. Then
she played his mother in that movie.
Colin Farrell's mother?
Yeah. Did that make any sense to you?
No.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
She's probably younger than him and played his mother.
Okay, so let me point out, at this point.
It was sort of incestuous.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds saucy. Now, let me point out, at this point, she's not been in anything that I would say is a great movie.
No.
Right? However, what's been going on this whole time, I'm assuming, is the Aniston Pitt thing. Because the next movie she has on her list is Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
There you go.
And that was a big deal because it was Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
Correct. And it was a good movie.
So, what I'm hypothesizing here is that she's only famous, really.
For being famous.
For being that... The Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, other woman.
With you. I already told you that. But you can't, just because you are angry about her fame, dismiss the fact that Mr. and Mrs. Smith was a good movie. Because it was.
But I didn't think it was.
It was.
Okay. Then you got Good Shepherd.
No.
Beowulf.
No, that was awful.
Yeah.
That was what they could pull that off.
CGI.
But that looks it's like
Polar Express.
Yeah. It was the same style of animation. That just makes everybody look wax figured.
Changeling, Wanted, terrible movie. Salt, terrible movie.
No, that's all.
Kung Fu Panda Holiday, whatever. Kung Fu Panda 2, Maleficent.
Yeah, you know where I saw that? In Hollywood. I was in Hollywood. I watched that.
Did you walk out of it? I can't imagine sitting through that.
I saw it over at Century City is where I saw it.
I think you've told me that before. I can't imagine. Yeah.
Never said that word in my life.
We talk about it all the time. It's always, I saw Maleficent in Century City.
That's the first time in my life I've said,
God, I wish
I saw
you could
Maleficent
go through one goddamn
City.
Day where you don't talk about seeing Maleficent in
Watch
Century
your
City.
Mouth. All right.
By anyway. The Sea, Notes of a Woman, then you got Maleficent 2.
Yeah.
I would wager to say this is not an impressive career.
Okay, but now she was battling some cancer issues, too. We'll give her some credit there while she was...
Okay, you're true. That's right. That is very unfortunate for her. But in terms of being an actress, that is not a stellar resume.
She's getting work. But is she my favorite? No. Would I rather watch Jennifer Aniston? Yes.
Yeah, me too. Jennifer Aniston's been in a way bunch more. Let's look up Jennifer Aniston's. I bet we get more better movies than that.
It's not going to be as impressive as you think it is.
I bet it's movies that we like.
Well, they're comedies.
Right, that's right. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that these are going to be Oscar movies.
Jennifer can do it.
Yeah.
I don't think Angelina could.
All right, let's go back. First of all, you got to give Jennifer Aniston credit for doing 1,000 Years of Cheers, or Friends, right?
Right, Friends,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, not Cheers. Those rhyme. Okay, so we have
Leprechaun, whatever it is.
Leprechaun, I've seen Leprechaun. Yeah. Mac and Me is her first movie. She plays Dancer in McDonald's. Isn't that what you played in the movie you were in?
I wish.
That's just what you were doing.
Yeah.
Quantum Leap, Leprechaun,
mm-hmm.
The Rembrandts, I'll Be There for You music video.
Of course.
Larry said, you know what's interesting? I don't see Friends on here before the I'll Be There for You music video.
Well, it's probably...
That was 1995, which is probably when Friends started.
IMDb may list it when it ends.
Okay, you're right. Larry Sanders, she played Jennifer Aniston.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that's an Ed Burns movie that's a good movie. Picture Perfect. That's the one with Kevin Bacon in it, I think.
I don't know.
Object of My Affection with Paul Rudd.
Yeah,
that's not a bad movie. Office Space.
That's a brilliant movie.
The Iron Giant, which is
Office Space, I could put in the top 20 of comedies.
you didn't when we actually made our list of colleges.
I didn't.
I'd just like to point that out.
What do you mean I didn't? How could I not?
Right. Rockstar, which is with Wahlberg.
You know, I actually kind of like that movie.
Yeah, I didn't. I liked it too. That's what I'm saying. Okay?
I like the song in that movie, The Hook. I liked it.
Yeah. Bruce Almighty.
Yeah, that's
actually. Along Came Polly with
good.
Ben Stiller.
Yeah, that's okay.
Friends. Like Rumor has it. The Breakup with our guy Vince Vaughn.
Love The Breakup. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I could put that in the top 30.
She was in 30 Rock.
Maybe
she was
top 50.
In The Switch with Bateman.
Oh, yeah.
Just Go With It, Sandler. Wanderlust, which I loved.
I hated that movie.
Oh, I love that movie.
That was stupid.
Yeah, you're stupid. We're the Millers, which was a bankable comedy.
That was pretty good.
Sudeikis.
Pretty good.
Horrible Bosses.
Yeah,
love both that. Those movies.
Although, to me, and what's the guy's name? Charlie?
Charlie Day.
Now, let's see the plausibility of that played out in real life.
Well, it's a movie, first of all.
Yeah. Where Charlie, first of all, is the... is the object of affection for Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
As
but I think
boss.
That's why it's a comedy.
And,
I think that's a joke.
And he doesn't want that at
right,
all.
Right. He's the dental technician in her office.
Yeah, I'm like, that stretched my
wait, we're not done.
Disbelief.
We got Murder Mystery with Sandler, which we talked about recently.
And it wasn't that bad.
And then she's getting ready to do something that's going to be huge. She's doing that morning show drama with Carell. Did you see that trailer? It's an Amazon Prime show, and it's Aniston and Steve Carell, and they play a married couple who hosts a Today Show style morning show on a huge network.
Oh,
yeah, that's a decent career.
You're not having to sell me on this. I told you I prefer Jennifer Aniston.
We're filling time.
You need to take it up with Brad Pitt, not me.
All right,
Brad Pitt's the one who made Angelina Jolie. I agree with you.
Brad Pitt, is he a star? Yeah, he's a star.
Well, I'm telling you, I love Brad Pitt and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, we talked about that.
We'll have to talk about it.
You know, let's give it a couple more weeks, and we're going to like really deconstruct
it. I want to go
that.
See it again.
Let's
go see it again. What are you doing after?
I got a meeting today.
With who?
With the El Capitan, Matthew Harper.
Blow it off.
Yeah.
Tell him you're going with me. See what he says.
I'm sure he won't take that out on me. Lee,
yeah.
Are you excited that Taylor Swift has a new album?
Nope.
What?
Could care less. Now, here's what this is interesting strategy I've read, because somebody bought the music rights from out under her.
I love this, by
right?
the way. I'm not a huge Taylor Swift fan, but this is brilliant.
I do like the strategy.
Yeah.
So what she's going to do.
Scooter Braun.
Who is this
guy? I think he is a producer.
Scooter. How does he get that much money that he can buy the music rights to Taylor Swift?
I don't know. That's got to be expensive.
Album or catalog.
Yeah. Well, Michael Jackson bought the Beatles.
Right. Well, that's Michael Jackson. I've heard of Michael Jackson. I have the first time I heard of Scooter Braun when it came out of your grizzled face. So, but the strategy is for her to go and recut all of her hits and then go, here.
Yeah. I did them all again.
Yeah.
These belong to me.
Right.
So he can have that old
right.
version.
So that's all you get. Now I get all this money.
Yeah. And you have to think that the new ones are probably going to be better because they're going to be better produced. And there might have been things she didn't like the first time around with other things. So
right. She
can tweak if she wants to. And it's brilliant.
But does she? But here's, I don't know. But if he bought the music library, the publishing, then he would still get a cut of that, wouldn't he?
The intellectual rights to the lyrics
right.
and everything,
yeah, because
right?
if he bought the ASCAP BMI rights to the catalog.
Well, maybe she
unless
maybe
she changes
one line in each song and changes the title. I don't know.
But then they could sue. Although, if she wrote them, I don't know how you'd go around that. I mean, I don't know. That's interesting. We need to bring an attorney in on here.
It's pretty cool. Now, do you think I haven't listened to the new Taylor Swift album? You think she's going to be mad at somebody in this album? Because that's her thing now. She likes being mad at people.
Right.
But I'll tell you, I already know the answer to this. No, this new album is all about love.
Okay. All right.
And she
opened
the VMAs last night.
Yeah.
With a big love thing.
Let me just say this. You know, you're sitting here on your high horse. denigrating Taylor Swift, which I don't think
How am I denigrating Taylor Swift?
Oh, you know, you know what you're doing over there. So, but let me do a little psychoanalysis. You think about her more than any other man I know. You bring her up more than anybody.
And, look at Maria's face.
And the other day, out of the blue, I get a text message from you where you're going, hey, you know, I don't like Taylor Swift or anything, but check out this video.
Okay, first of all, that was 6 months ago.
Well, whatever. That's the only time I ever hear about Taylor Swift.
And I was only sending
you
that video because I was like, look at the production qualities in this video.
If you want to try to say that, that's fine.
I
but we all know
love,
what's going on here.
I did not say I love the song. The song's ridiculous.
No, I don't think you love the song. I think you love Taylor Swift. I think you're head over heels in love with her. You're obsessed with
her. Then why am I denigrating her? Am I negging her, as the kids say? Am I negging her?
You're hiding it.
Oh, is that what it is? It's like on the playground?
It's self-denial. That's right. You're picking on the little second grade girl.
Trying to get into one of her songs. Yeah. That's all I'm trying to do. Well, she opened the VMAs last night, which leads me to what I want to do today.
Okay.
Which she opened it up with a big thing and had all kinds of people of all color and creed and ethnicity and everything like that. And her whole thing was, let's all just love each other. So, clearly, snake-bearing, leather-clad Taylor, who's mad at everybody for tweeting about her, she's let it go. Yep. She's out in with the good, out with the bad, right? Mm-hmm. So, the new one's all about love.
I had no idea she was in a leather outfit. Clad with a snake.
Maria, can you please tell him that this was a very famous video,
okay,
and that I'm not
be.
Some weirdo who's stalking Taylor Swift?
You have more details about Taylor Swift than any other grown man I've ever met in my life. All right, so anyway, continue with your VMA story.
All right, so she opened with that. I want to go down the list today. I have a whole list
of
the winners.
Of former addresses of Taylor Swift.
Of her relatives that I can get to. Okay, so let's look at the winners of last night's VMAs.
Okay.
And I want to see how old we are.
I guarantee you, I won't
know
any of them.
It's going to be fun. Because I'm curious myself. I have not looked at this.
Okay.
All right, so we're going into this blindly. Right. The MTV VMAs were last night. Video of the year.
Who watches videos now? I mean, is it a YouTube thing? Where do you even see them?
Yeah, I guess YouTube.
What's the platform? Because MTV doesn't
I send
show.
Them to you. That's
well,
what
that's
it is.
Right, yeah.
So Taylor Swift won, obviously. Okay. That's why she was all over the place last night.
Okay.
For You Need to Calm Down. Maria, is that the first single off her new album? Okay. Well.
We need Michael Leonard here.
Oh, is he a big Taylor Swift fan? Well, maybe he could come over and Lee can make fun of him. Maybe we'll just call him up. We can mock him on the speakerphone.
Okay.
Artist of the year is Ariana Grande.
I know her.
Yeah. You know her as former Mrs. Pete Davidson. Is that what you call her?
Yeah.
Song.
Thank You Next. Song was the song about Pete Davidson.
That's right. Yeah. That's correct.
Well, maybe.
Then the song of the year is Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus, "Old Town Road." Now I know this song very well.
I know that.
Yeah.
Little kids love it.
They love. That's why I know it. They love it. They have. Yeah. There's a dance that goes with it and everything. Mm-hmm. Best New Artist presented by Taco Bell. I want to make sure that that's out there.
All right.
That's definitely part of the name of the award. Apparently, mm-hmm. Billie Eilish. I bet you like her.
I know her. My wife knows her
personally.
Yes.
Wow.
Because she's done fashion shows and Billie Eilish
really
was the performer, and. My wife says she's a weirdo.
Are you sure she wasn't talking about Billie Eilish? Because that sounds like more like a fashion person.
But I downloaded that her song, the one that I know.
Señorita?
Not Señorita.
No, I don't know what her song is.
The Billie Eilish song is, I've got it here.
She's getting a lot of buzz. Here's why Billie Eilish is getting a lot of buzz. Actual artists like of our age are starting to trend to her. Like Tom York of Radiohead is a huge fan.
Okay.
Yeah, Tom York's not a fan of anything.
Yeah, but he likes her.
Bad
Guy, that's the name of her song.
Can you sing
it? I like the hook.
I don't want to hear that. I want you to hear you sing it.
I don't know the words.
White shirt,
Oh, what happened there? Did I do that? Sorry. I think my nose touched the screen. I skipped it.
You shouldn't be pressing your face against your phone. You talking to stuff like my grandma.
All right, so she says white shirt.
White shirt. Yeah, I heard that.
Bloody nose. Yeah, on your tippy toes creeping. Like no
one knows. Sounds like a, so
it's very dark.
Like an obscene phone call, this song.
Yeah, she never sings. She just
is this what
whispers.
She does? Really? This yeah. is like her thing?
Yeah.
I gotta hear the chorus on this.
Here it comes. Tough guy. Rough guy. Enough guy. Just always a puff guy. I'm that bad type. Make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type. Might seduce your dad type. Might seduce your dad type.
Well, I'm glad that she's capturing the hearts and minds.
Yeah, so that's what our young people are listening to. I might seduce your dad type.
Well, all right. To each their own. Best collaboration is Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello, Senorita. I think I know that song, right?
I got that.
Yeah, pull that one up.
It's in the hot rotation.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, then sing it without playing it.
I don't know how
I
to
I want
to
hear
it.
You sing today. Ding, 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 ding. This is nice.
It is nice. Ooh, la, la, la. It's true. La, la, la.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, I do know this song.
Yeah, that's it. Now, here's what I don't get. He then starts to sing, I love...
I'm listening. Go ahead.
I don't know why he says, I love it when you call me senorita.
Well, again, get woke, Lee.
I like Shawn Mendes. Yeah. That's a good kid.
Best pop is the Jonas Brothers, Sucker.
I got that on
hot rotation. I bet that's on hot rotation. That's all over the place. I feel like this song has been famous for 3 years.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Been around.
It's been around.
In some form or the other.
Yeah.
Mars. He's a drunk.
I'm a sucker for you.
He's an obsessive drunk.
In real life?
Well, no, the lyrics, it sounds like he's describing your affair with Taylor Swift.
Okay, that's
okay,
enough
that's
that.
Enough
now
of that.
Let's move on to best hip-hop. You got Cardi B, Money.
Don't have that one.
That's not in your hot rotation?
No, I
got to look that one
is.
Up? All right. Cardi B, as long as we're talking about great role models, had a baby and then 2 weeks later got in a fight and got arrested in a strip club.
Yeah. She was devastated that she didn't get to be in the new movie Hustlers with Jennifer Lopez because she was pregnant and couldn't do pole work. I read that.
What movie was she wanting to be in?
There's a movie called Hustlers with Jennifer Lopez.
Oh.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of naughty language in this.
Okay. That's Cardi B.
That's Cardi B. But, yeah, so I think they offered her the role because, you know, of her background in the performance arts.
What movie, this movie, Hustlers? What's
it's coming out
now?
Pretty soon.
Like what is this?
This month. It's you know, it's female empowerment. It's women that are strippers that I think what they do is they get
rob somebody.
They get Wall Street executives really drunk and run up their credit cards. Like at $5,000 per, and just defy them to say anything.
Like blackmail them.
Yeah, essentially blackmail. Yeah. And then, but eventually they must get caught because the FBI gets involved or
uh-oh.
Something.
Uh-oh. I hope so. That doesn't sound legal. Best R&B is Normani featuring Six Lack. Slack?
I don't know what that is.
I can't. I hate it when people put numbers in their names.
Yeah, why do that?
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like Tech N9ne. Mm-hmm. You heard that guy?
Yeah. But now it's true. You
or the movie Seven with the seven in the middle. So it looks like it says Seven.
Or Slevin or whatever.
It's Seven. Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't there a movie called Slevin?
Yeah, Lucky Number Slevin.
What
was Josh Hartnett and Lucy Liu. It was like a Pulp Fiction sort of ripoff.
Yeah.
You don't know Normani?
No, I don't
featuring
have
Six Lack?
No, I don't Glack. Know.
Well, maybe it's Glack. The,
I
see,
don't,
the
I don't
six
know
looks
what
like a
saying.
G.
I think you're having a stroke.
I'm just going to call him Glack. Best K-pop. This is now a thing. You don't know what K-pop is?
No, I know what cake pops are. they're delicious. They're served on toothpicks.
Maria, you know what K-pop is, right? K-pop
have you had a cake pop, though, Maria, on a toothpick? It's great.
K-pop is Korean pop.
Oh.
They are gigantic. As in, as when they were on SNL, who was the band that was on BT something? BLT? No, BTS?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they were on SNL, and apparently, like, young women camped out for weeks to get into this SNL thing. Like, it was crazy. Like, they were all about it.
And
now it's such a huge thing.
So not just in Korea. These are American women that are freaking out over the...
Oh, yeah. It's okay. Like teenagers. Yeah, it's like kind of like
the
new... They're all boy bands. And these bands have, like... 14 people in them, and yeah. They all dance, and they all sing.
I assume they're all South Korean.
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to come over here. They're North Korean. But so you're going to love this. The winner was the aforementioned BTS with Your Lady Halsey.
Oh, I love the Halsey.
Boy with Love. Do you know that song, Rhea?
Boy with Love.
You want to hear it?
Okay. Halsey in it?
Yeah, apparently. I just said that. Let's see here. You have to remember them being on SNL. There was like 14 of them. They're all jumping all over the stage.
I don't know. I didn't watch that episode. Has sort
it,
of that.
It sounds like video game. Like video game. You know, cut scenes in the beginning of a video game?
Yeah, it
like
does,
a.
Yeah.
There's Halsey.
Yeah.
I think
that's Halsey.
Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Could be one of those guys.
Well, anyway, the point is, that's really interesting that it's so big it has its own VMA
K-pop.
Category.
Okay.
Then Best Latin, you have Rosalia and J Balvin. I've heard of J Balvin before.
I have not.
I'm not going to look that one up. Best Dance is the Chainsmokers and Bebe Rexha.
Yep.
We were talking about Bebe Rexha the other night.
She's going to be in the next fashion show.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
we were there. Yeah,
at the KS Bar, yeah.
Okay.
Call You Mine. Now, will the Chainsmokers be with her?
I don't know. I don't think so.
They sound like they would be not fun to hang out with.
Why is that?
Chain smoking all the time.
Oh, because they chain smoke, yeah.
Best Rock is?
But the Chainsmokers are a fraud. I love the Chainsmokers' music.
They do a lot with Halsey.
I know they do. Yeah. And they're great producers, but... One of them doesn't even play an instrument. He just stands behind a computer screen. The other one does play bass.
So one of them's a DJ.
Yeah. It's a DJ and a bass player.
I know that I was in Las Vegas 2 years ago, and I was at the Venetian, and I passed by a club where the Chainsmokers were playing that night, and the line was all the way down the hall to the casino. Like
I heard
was
them
massive.
Talk about that show once.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I passed by it. I don't know if they recognize.
But,
if they
realize
that.
I don't want to say I'm denigrating them because there is a talent to producing. I mean, if you can make a track in a studio using your creative skills and it becomes a hit song, that's talent.
Mark Ronson.
Right.
Does great work with that.
Yeah. Bruno Mars knows about it.
Yeah. Yep. And here's a question I have for you.
He knows about Mark Ronson, what I mean. He collaborated with
right.
Mark. Bruno is a talented musician.
Lily Allen,
straight up.
I mean, tons of people have. Do you think DJing is a – where do you land on that side of the fence?
I don't even know what it is. I know it's
Are
a guy.
Are you for real?
What I mean is, what does the guy do? He selects tracks. Right. He may mix them live. What?
Yeah.
Why?
I think on paper you're supposed to be mixing them live. My favorite joke is the one in, you see Pop Star with Andy Samberg?
Yeah.
Where his buddy is the DJ, and they ask him what he does, and he goes, well, basically when the show starts, I hit play on this iPod, and then
right.
I stand behind the table the whole time, because there's a scene where he actually hits his Harry Potter audiobook.
Well, back in the day, like when you and I were kids, you were doing it on vinyl, and you had, you know, take one headphone and listen to the track while the club was
like,
listening to the other track.
Yeah, scratching.
Yeah, you'd scratch, but you had to mix the beat. You had a limited amount of time to get this done before the track ends.
Yeah.
And then you slide it over to that, but it's seamless because you nailed it. You got the rhythm correct.
Right.
Nowadays, it's a software program that does it. I've seen my buddy's a DJ, and I watch him, and it's a computer program that does everything.
Yeah, back in the day, like every rap group had a DJ. It was like Third base had Daddy Rich, and he had Salt and Pepper, I think, with Spinderella. Is that right?
Yep.
Spinderella.
Yep. Spinderella.
Jam Master Jay, wasn't he the DJ for Run DMC?
Yep.
You know, so, and what they did was they played, it was almost like they were playing the turntable as an instrument, as an accompaniment to the music.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now I think that art is lost. Although I'm sure there's, have to select. I guess they have to figure out what beats per minute they're doing, you know, to make it.
Yeah, there is definitely an art to it because you have to know what the beat is. You have to be able to think in your head what another song with a similar beat is so you can flow it in. Now, you know why that's hard. Have you ever tried to think of the tune of a song while you're listening to another song?
Yeah, I can't.
It's really hard.
I can't do it.
So, yeah, so I mean,
I have to turn the radio. Like, if we're trying to think of a song, I have to turn the radio down.
Yeah, I can't do it while I'm doing it. Yeah. I
can't look for an address. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, we've talked about this.
You can,
though.
This
is documented.
You say you can. That's nonsense if you're driving around. You don't leave the radio up. You turn the radio down when you're looking for an address. You can't concentrate.
I love that you cannot look for an address while you're listening to a song.
If somebody's involved, we want you to come
you
over and see the new house.
You could probably be hypnotized out of that. That's something that's
totally mental. No, you cannot be hypnotized out of it. I'm a dude.
All right, let's practice it. Play a song. I'll look for an address.
No.
No, come on.
No,
let's
when
do
you're
it.
Driving. When you're
let's
driving.
Go get in the car.
And let's say.
First of all, we shouldn't be messing with our phones at all while we're driving.
What? That's not what I mean. What I mean is when somebody says, okay, we've moved to such and such, we've moved to 501 South Maple.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I'm going to South Maple for the first time. I'm on South Maple. Now, which house is it as I'm looking for addresses? I can't look unless I turn the radio down. I can't think what this address is and drive at the same time. Everybody experiences that.
No one experiences this.
Everybody does.
What, are you saying that, like, if somebody gives you an address, all of a sudden you type in, I'm a sucker for you, because you can't not listen to the music for 1 second?
I'm not talking about typing it. I'm talking about driving the vehicle and looking out the window for the addresses. That's what I mean. Or looking for directions. I'm not talking about getting navigation.
I thought you were talking about punching in the navigation.
No, I'm talking about the exterior, looking at the exterior, not your phone where somebody's talking to
that's
you.
That's even easier.
No, it isn't. It's more difficult.
not to me. I don't think so. I'm not with you.
You know what?
This.
I can't wait. You and I are going to go somewhere.
Here's what's going to happen.
And we're not going to be familiar, and I'm going to crank the radio, and we're never going to get there because you can't concentrate.
You're going to shout directions at me.
We're going to be late.
I'm going to look for them while you crank the radio, while you crank Billie Eilish.
Because you can't think about it.
Well, I'm sure that we'll be swamped with tons of people on Twitter who say that they can't look for directions while they're listening to music.
Nobody can.
Yeah, okay. Best group was BTS. The K-pop group we just talked about.
Bachman-Turner Overdrive.
Bachman-Turner Silver Drive.
Silver Drive. Silverado.
Best Power Anthem. Megan Thee Stallion featuring Nicki Minaj and Ty Dolla $ign. Hot Girl Summer.
I don't know that one.
Well, that's a song. Song of the Summer. Is that, wait. Best Power Anthem is not Song of the Summer? And the Hot Girl Summer. How is Hot Girl Summer not Song of the Summer? Winner is Ariana Grande's Social House Boyfriend. I bet we know that one.
I do know that one. I don't have it in hot rotation.
How's that go? I don't know.
It's okay. Not that good.
Best overall artist, Demi Lovato.
I'm good with that.
I'm joking. No. I know. I'm just trying to get you on the hook. I knew you could.
I like Demi Lovato.
I knew you'd like that one. So I don't know what Demi Lovato is doing right now. I don't think she's doing too well. I hope she is. We talked a little bit before we came on mic about TV shows. Mm-hmm. You're watching
Glow. Love Glow.
Yeah.
Mark Maron is great.
He's great, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Maron's one of those guys that it's really interesting to me because you can really not like Mark Maron.
Oh, yeah.
Until you tune yourself to his frequency.
Yeah.
Same with
his
podcast.
Yeah, I like
you know,
that. Right.
Like. And even though I like his podcast, I still skip past the first 15-minute diatribe he does.
Yeah.
But once you tune yourself to his crankiness, he's very enjoyable.
He's very cranky.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that show. I didn't finish the second season. I think we talked about that. But the third season you said was in Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really liked the way I think the second season ended. I don't want to give it away for you. Mm-hmm. But it was just because that part of it is true. How they got the show syndicated, the gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Right.
And it was sort of guerrilla marketing. And I thought that was brilliant to see it depicted. I liked it.
Now, has the blonde lead kind of taken over the lead of the show? Because it used to, I kind of felt like it was Alison Brie for a long time.
It really
And then I saw a trailer for the third season. It looked like it was all about the blonde
lady. I mean, Alison Brie is still the lead actress in this series. But the character, the blonde lady, who's getting more roles now, I see her a lot more.
Yeah,
often.
I don't know her.
I'll tell you what, she's the latest. I saw that horrible movie. What is her name? The blonde. She was in Pitch Perfect.
I don't like those movies.
Yeah, I don't either. But she had her own rom-com, which made fun of rom-coms. It was Rebel Wilson. She was in this Rebel Wilson. Yeah, that horrible movie.
Yeah, you talked about that on this show.
But in GLOW, her character has become a producer as well as the star of the wrestling program.
Gotcha.
They feature her quite a bit, but
I watched Righteous Gemstones.
How's that?
On HBO, and I loved it. Yeah, I mean we've made no bones about the fact that we're Danny McBride.
I like
fans
Danny
around
McBride,
here.
Yeah. I like Danny McBride.
And Danny McBride is like Vince Vaughn. You want him to play.
Yeah, that character.
The role he plays best, and don't mess with it. Just be this guy, and this is what we want.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very Danny McBride. Good catch. It's a show, and it's on HBO. It just premiered last week, depending on when you're listening to this. And it's about two generations of televangelists.
Mm-hmm.
So John Goodman is the Falwell type. Yeah. Leader Eli Gemstone, and then his sons are Danny McBride and Adam Devine from Workaholics. And Isn't It Romantic? Isn't he in that with Rebel Wilson?
Maybe. I'd have to see the guy.
Yeah,
what does he look like?
Yeah, you'll know if you.
Would you say his name was again?
Oh, you've seen him in a gazillion things. He's in the Wedding Dates movie with Aubrey Plaza. Yeah.
Oh, Adam, I know who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Modern Family.
That's right. Yeah, he was the nanny in Modern Family.
Yeah, okay.
And if you liked Eastbound and Vice Principals, which I loved both of those things, and wait till I show you what Walton Goggins, who was in Vice Principals
He was also in, what was the Kentucky-based show?
Justified.
Yeah, Justified.
Yeah, and he was also in Hateful Eight. And now let me show you a picture of him.
In Justified, they'd be saying something like, "Where are you? I'm on Tate's Creek Road." And, well, we're in Hazard. Yeah. I'll be there in 10 minutes. Like, what? No, you're not.
It's all just one county. Yeah. That's what he looks like in Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, yeah, good.
So, So it's a lot of fun. The last 50 minutes are totally bonkers of that pilot. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be worth watching.
If you say so.
You think I've seen any movies?
Not lately, no.
I don't think I've seen anything.
I don't think I've seen anything. Wait a minute. There is something I watched. I'm trying to recall.
You didn't go to the movies?
It was something. It was on HBO or popped up, and I watched it. I can't think of it at the moment.
I watched Beetlejuice the other night.
Wasn't impressed. I love Beetlejuice.
You know, I do too.
They keep talking about a sequel, and nothing ever happens.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it in a long time, and... Here's the thing I'll say about Beetlejuice, and I was talking about this with my neighbor. We all watched it, and we were just hanging out. And here's the thing I'll say about Beetlejuice. It's interesting that Beetlejuice is such a recognizable pop culture character from the 80s, because he's not in the movie that much.
No, he's not. It's very limited.
He doesn't really come into the movie until halfway, and then there's more time. Then he's in the Then he's in a little bit more, and then they call him in for the end.
It may be like... Say the movie runs an hour 20. He's maybe in it 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. And he's in, but yet he's such a good character and he's so funny that he makes the movie good as a whole.
If you think about it, what he is, he's essentially Groucho Marx. That's how Groucho played every scene.
He's like a vile, perverse.
Well, yeah.
Which
but,
Groucho
but still,
was too for the time.
For the time he was. But it was a character that would come in and blow the entire scene up to where it's almost not even structured any longer. It's just about this guy. It's like we've lost all control.
We're just watching
this guy. It's an agent of chaos.
Yeah.
And that's what Beetlejuice was.
Yeah.
I'm an agent of chaos and I'm just going to do whatever I want. Completely changes the narrative of everything.
But it's a real testament to that character that that movie, you think of it, is so good and he's only in it for such a little time. Because The rest of the time, it's just Alec Baldwin and Geena Davis moping around the house.
Right.
Really? I mean, like, it's sort of interesting, but it's not. If Beetlejuice wasn't in it, that movie would not be interesting.
Geena Davis is in Glow.
I was wondering what happened to her as I watched Beetlejuice. Is she really?
Yeah, she's in Glow. She plays an aging casino executive.
I have not seen her in anything
I hadn't
forever.
Either.
I don't remember. The last movie I think I saw her in was that Speechless movie with Michael Keaton, right?
Oh,
where they
yeah.
played opposite party speechwriters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or The Long Kiss Goodnight with Samuel L. Jackson. But she hadn't made anything in a long time.
Now, I don't know if she has actually
I haven't seen
aged as much or if they're depicting her to be a little older, but she's older.
Well, she's got to be older. I mean,
yeah. I mean, Beetlejuice was, what, late 80s?
Like 86, I think, something like that. 87, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. Whenever
maybe,
it was.
Maybe somewhere in the latter half of the 80s, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was big time for what? Like, she was like a bankable superstar.
Remember that pirate movie?
Cutthroat Island?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was really big. Let's look at her IMDb real quick.
The Fly. Isn't
the
that
Fly?
Her,
yeah.
Her and your boy Goldblum met.
Love Jeff Goldblum. Let's
he
see.
Was. I watched him do some red carpet interview, and somebody created a meme. I want anybody to listen to me as hard as Jeff Goldblum listens. So this young reporter's asking Goldblum about, you know, isn't it sad about Spider-Man? And he's like, what? You know?
Yeah.
And then she's
well,
like,
that was very interesting.
And so she goes, well, you know, because they can't reach an arrangement, you know. And he's like, and I mean, he leaned into her like it's almost nose to nose, listening to her, and his eyes are bugged out.
That's why I like him so much.
Like it's the most fascinating thing he's ever heard.
We've had this conversation.
And he's like, I'm sure that, you know, I'm not a businessman of any sort, but I'm sure things would work out and we can figure this out. I would hope that we could do that. Yeah. And he's doing all these mannerisms, you know.
He's so charismatic, isn't he?
Yeah. No, he'd be a fun guy to hang out with.
He would be. You should listen to Conan's podcast with him. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting because clearly Conan feels the same way we do. Okay, so before we go, let's take a look at Geena Davis here real quick. She was in, I'm going to skip straight to the big stuff. She's in Fletch.
Oh, yeah. She was in Fletch. Yep.
Who was she in Fletch? Is
well,
that Larry?
She worked in the office. You know, I can't say she was the girlfriend because that was the other, you know, like when he showed up and said, I need your towel.
Right, yeah.
My car just hit a water buffalo.
Yeah. She's in Transylvania 65,000, which I saw when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That's Ed Begley Jr. and somebody else. It was
Ed
a total
Begley Jr.
crap fest. The Fly.
Yep.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Earth Girls Are Easy. Remember that movie with Julie Brown? The real Julie Brown, not downtown Julie Brown.
Right.
The Accidental Tourist, which I think she might have won an Oscar for.
Maybe.
With William Hurt.
William Hurt, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't she win an Oscar for that?
Maybe.
Quick Change. Quick Change is a great movie.
Well, that's a movie we've never discussed.
We haven't.
And
it's so good.
Bill Murray, Randy Quaid.
Yeah. That's a fantastic movie.
Dressed as clowns.
Yeah. What kind of clown
Robin
are you?
Banks.
I don't know. Crying on the inside type, I guess. And we're missing her biggest movie.
Which is?
Thelma and Louise.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah,
Susan Sarandon.
Then League of Their Own.
League of Their Own. Yeah,
great baseball movie.
Yeah,
just
there was
great
like a 5-10 year stretch.
Yeah.
She was one of the biggest stars in Hollywood.
Yeah, Hero, which was with Andy Garcia and Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, yeah. He was the plane crash.
Yep.
Survived the plane. Or no, he went into the plane.
Yep. Angie, which I remember being a big movie for her, but it was 1994. It wasn't our kind of thing.
Right.
So, Speechless, Cutthroat Island, Long Kiss Goodnight, which I loved.
Yeah. I think
Stuart Little.
Cutthroat Island sort of ended the run there because it was a
it
big.
It sure did.
That was a huge.
That's it.
Spend. For the studio, it was a huge budget, and it didn't make it back at all.
That's it.
Yeah.
Cutthroat Island did her in, it looks like. That was the thing. And that was a Rennie Harlan movie, right, with Matthew Modine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, but she did do Long Kiss Goodnight the next year.
Yeah, but that may have been in production already.
It was probably already in the can. That's a great action movie. That's kind of like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. It's one of those small action movies that you watch. You know,
so was Kiss Kiss Bang Bang the movie Mel Gibson gave to Robert Downey Jr.?
Oh, I don't know. Is that what happened?
I'm pretty sure.
I think Shane Black wrote all those movies. Mm. Shane Black wrote Lethal Weapon, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Well, there you go.
Long Kiss Goodnight.
That must be it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I played you that, but that speech he won Robert Downey Jr. for, like, cinema icon, some kind of, it wasn't like an Oscar, but it was
like some other film festival,
like
kind of
film
thing.
Legend kind of thing.
Yeah.
He gets it. This was probably right in the middle of the Iron Man run.
Mm-hmm.
And that person gets to choose who the presenter is. And he chose Mel Gibson. And they didn't like it. And they don't want Mel Gibson. But, and then Robert Downey Jr.
This during Mel Gibson's exile.
I think so, yeah. Yes. So he goes up there after Mel Gibson presents, and then he does this whole thing. The reason I had him present is because when I was as low as you can get, there was only one guy reached out to me, and it was Mel Gibson. And he told me a story about, you know, if you hug the cactus long enough, you know, and understand this is your fault, don't blame other people, you know, that you can eventually work your way through it. And then he gave me a chance to be in a movie that was really for him and against everybody else, because nobody could get insurance. So if you go with Robert Downey Jr., the insurance companies go, no, because he's going to coke out and he won't be there, he won't show up, and we'll lose our shirt. But Mel Gibson took the chance on him. And so that was
he was kind of like a real-life Martin Riggs from Lethal Weapon.
Right.
Is what
right.
you're saying.
Yeah. Right, yeah, he was. That's right. That's right. Yeah. And he said, and he goes, he didn't ask for anything. He said, all I ask is that you, whenever the next guy comes along, that you do the same and show forgiveness.
Hmm.
Little does he know that next guy would have been him. And so it's time to let go of the cactus, and I ask you to forgive him his trespasses as he did for me.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's a great speech.
Not to look that up. I'm interested to see what.
Just do a search for Robert Downey Jr. Mel Gibson speech, and it's okay. Great. It's about 2 minutes. It's fantastic.
I'm really interested to see where his career goes from here, because obviously Iron Man took a lot of his time, and he played it as such, where he was like, "I'm just going to be Tony Stark."
Yeah.
Till this run is over.
I think and I don't know that he can stop.
Well,
that is
yeah,
so
the,
indelible
yeah.
to who he is,
because yeah.
it kind of was him, you know?
Very snarky and
yeah, that's
quick
who Robert Downey Jr. has always seemed to yeah. be to me anyway. So that's so it was so easy for us to believe it.
Right.
You know, because he had sort of a past. Everything about Tony Stark is really Robert Downey Jr. I don't know how he gets out of it.
Well, he really built by, like, he played it so smart, because just by being Tony Stark, not diluting the pool and doing a whole bunch of other things, he built back the goodwill of the fans.
He did that
so that
one
when he
movie,
does
though.
The next thing, he's going to be – people will see him as a real actor and not, you
well,
know.
He is a real actor. He's a
well,
great
yeah,
actor.
Yeah, of course he is.
He
yeah.
did that one movie with Robert Duvall, who had that most disturbing shower scene I've ever seen. It's sort of sad. I don't recommend it because it's just tough to watch.
Oh, I remember that.
His dad is a judge
yeah.
and was aging.
The judge.
Yeah, and he's an attorney now, and he's a hot shot attorney.
The Grisham movie?
Yeah. He's a big shot attorney. But he goes back to take care of his dad, and there's a scene where his dad defecates himself in the shower, and he's got to clean him up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, what am I watching?
Yeah.
I'm here to escape.
He also, I remember him being in The Wonder Boys with Michael Douglas. And who was the other guy in that? You remember that? Where they kind of like, one was a professor and one was a student. Maybe there's a novelist involved.
Yeah, kind of.
And he played kind of like a drag queen. Yeah. It was a Curtis Hanson movie made L.A. Confidential. And it had a... It was Michael Douglas. He plays a novelist who teaches creative writing but has been unable to finish his second out. Tobey Maguire. That's who it was.
Okay.
Yeah, Frances McDormand. Rip Torn.
R.I.P.
Rip. Yeah.
Love Rip.
Yeah. But, hey, we've bent these fine people's ear probably long enough, right?
Okay. So right. It's getting rowdy.
Yeah, we should probably get moving on. So, yeah, that's it for episode whatever we said the number was. The
64.
Beginning. 64.
Yeah.
That's right.
There's a Beatles reference.
That's right. I forgot that. It's been a while since we started this thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, thanks for joining us. We'll be back soon. This has been the Funk Hazard Situation. For Lee Cruz, I'm Chris Tomlin. See ya.